For the first time in many years, there's a logging sale in progress near our home at Sawbill. It's been kind of nice to have neighbors again, even if they do go back to town at quitting time each day. This week, the loggers finished up the sale, and a trucker's been making regular trips between Sawbill and Superior to get the pulp to market before the roads break up. The trucker's very professional, and I've noticed when I've met him or followed him that he's a careful driver. I was headed home from town a few days ago and saw some ravens lift from the ditch about halfway up the Sawbill Trail. This would hardly even be noteworthy on Highway 61, but it is rare for anyone to hit a deer on the Sawbill, so it caught my interest. I couldn't see the carcass over the snowbank, but I did see a gruesomely vivid trail of blood from the middle of the road and up and over the snowbank. It was strange enough that I stopped to take a look. When I climbed the snowbank, I saw the dead animal, but it was so mangled that it took me a minute to figure out that it was a large wolf. It was freshly dead and looked for all the world like it had been run over by a logging truck. When I got home, I called Conservation Officer Tom Wallstrom. Tom had already been on the scene and was actually the one who dragged the wolf off the road and into the brush. Before I could say anything, Tom commented that it looked like it had been run over by a logging truck. A few days later, I stopped to chat with the truck driver who was hauling from the sale near us. It turned out he had indeed hit the wolf, but he said the strange part of the incident was that the wolf had plenty of opportunity to get out of the way. The Sawbill Trail at that point is still mostly ice, so the truck driver did what he could to slow down and avoid the wolf, but it just stood where he couldn't avoid it and paid the ultimate price. This is very odd behavior for wolves, who are usually plenty smart enough to avoid large trucks. The driver said it was unique to his experience. Of course, we'll never know why the wolf behaved in such an odd way, but at least it didn't suffer. Winter turned on a dime this week, and spring is upon us. Melting seemed to start immediately after daylight savings time ended. So now the snowpack on the lakes and rivers, now that it has, the snowpack has become very soggy. We're hoping for some cold nights to set a nice crust. In the years when we get a couple of weeks of freeze and thaw cycle, it can make for some great fun. On the lakes, travel becomes very fast. In the late morning, the hard-packed snow becomes just soft enough to hold the ski edge, and a cross-country skier can eat up the miles with very little effort. One warm day a few years ago, a group of us skied across six Boundary Waters lakes in nothing but our running shorts. If the rivers get a suitable crust, it can make even an average skier feel like an Olympian, because when you ski down a river, it's always slightly downhill. If you're lucky enough to have a breeze at your back, well, that's heaven. Once in about every 20 years, the lakes will flood themselves with meltwater, then refreeze smooth enough for ice skating. Of course, everyone should use great caution when venturing out on spring ice. Know the ice thickness, never ski alone, keep some distance between individuals, and carry rescue and survival equipment. If you haven't done it before, go with an experienced person the first few times. This has been a wonderful winter for live music in the West End and all of Cook County. The Cook County Visitors Bureau has cooperated with area resorts and watering holes to present live music nearly every day. On weekends, there's more live music than one person can possibly attend. Some venues bring in their own musical acts. The result of all this musical opportunity is that local musicians have had many chances to showcase their talents to visitors and locals alike. This has been a deliberate strategy by the Cook County's tourism community to establish our area as a music destination, provide outstanding entertainment for local residents, and provide work for local musicians. As a side benefit, the local music scene has become very active, with new bands forming, jam sessions popping up all over the county, and a noticeable improvement of skill among local musicians. Excuse me. The attendance at the music venues has been gradually going up, and people from outside the area are starting to think of Cook County as a place with a great music scene. Speaking of which, I highly recommend that you mark your calendar and plan to attend the concert at Papa Charlie's in Lutzen on March 31st. There are, of course, many nationally known bands that play at Papa Charlie's, and they're all worth seeing, but the concert on that Thursday night will, in my opinion, be special. The Traveling McCourys are one of the finest bluegrass bands in the world. The leader, Ronnie McCourry, is widely believed to be the best mandolin player in bluegrass music. The whole band are virtuosos at their instruments, and they're renowned for their wonderful vocal harmonies, especially their old-time gospel songs. A couple of years ago, the McCourys met another great gospel band, the Lee Boys, at a festival. The Lee Boys are veterans of an African-American gospel tradition coming from a denomination known as the House of God Church. These churches specialize in a gospel music called Sacred Steel that uses the pedal steel guitar, which is most often heard in country music, where most churches use an organ. In this music, The arrangements draw heavily on rhythm and blues, jazz, and blues influences. Like the McCoorys, the Lee Boys are powerful and skilled singers. At the festival, these two bands started jamming, and the results were magic. It's a happy marriage of two great American music traditions, with the sum being greater than the parts. They're now touring together, and we're lucky enough to have them appearing here in the little old west end of Cook County. Be there or be square. For WTIP, this is Bill Hansen with the West End News.